Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski. With me, as always, is Kate. Christmas is canceled. As you've seen, I am no longer wearing any of the accoutrement, no paraphernalia signifying a joyous season, because there is no joy in this household. Also, I took all the lights off the Christmas tree. It's over. We're putting everything back in the boxes, putting them in the attic. We're sending a little communique to Santa tonight. Tell him to don't bother and come, because Christmas is canceled in this household. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing well because I liked what we got tonight better than you, and also because I saw Mariah Carey yesterday. So if I wasn't just like in a diva Christmas spirit, I would be betraying my inner soul and all of Mariah's glory and Will Washington, most importantly. So, but this is your AEW Dynamite post show for December 18th. Next week will be Christmas Eve, I believe, on Wednesday. Christmas Day. That's right. NXT will be Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day correspondingly as well. So you won't, in all likelihood, be getting post shows unless Alex is feeling particularly jolly or sour in a weird way.
No, I'm boycotting this company until at World's End. And depending on what they do there, I may be done with this company forever. So
just know that when he says done with this company forever, he still reviews shows every Tuesday, just so you guys know. But get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Let us know what you think about tonight's show. Mercedes and Anna was great. We've learned more about this new signing in Toni Storm. So some really good stuff in the women's division. Your Continental Classic matches. And of course, the main event, which we will get into. But help us out with some super chats and humper chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It's the best free way to support us, if you would be so kind. And of course, subscribe to Fightful Select, where Fightful Awards voting is going on now. And if you want to sponsor the Fightful Awards, email me at kate@fightful.com and we'll talk to you about what's left and what's available for sponsorship. Also, plenty of scoops going up there today. I don't know if there's anybody left in TNA, Alex. I'm not sure, but you can get news on all of the departures, sadly, that are going on in TNA. More contract news coming down the pipe. Like, this is not a quiet end to the year for contracts. There's going to be plenty more coming up. We've got the Hammerstein shows. We will be cruising into the Netflix era soon enough. There was the big event at WWE headquarters. So much going on in wrestling. And as Alex said, World's End around the corner as well. So, and Final Battle too. So there's going to be plenty of action on Fightful Select. But Alex, there was plenty of action tonight on AEW Dynamite. Alex?
There was. There was. Hold on. Do we have any? Okay. So, there wasn't for the first 9 minutes of the show, which is odd. Usually they open straight up with something. It was just a lot of like, hey, here's what's going to be on the show tonight, which is an, which is, was an interesting tactic to me. I like that we started out with the TBS title match. I thought that Anna Jay did great here. Mercedes Moné is one of the best in the world. This was some good back and forth stuff. I liked it a lot. They're setting up Mina Shirakawa versus Mercedes Moné for Wrestle Dynasty, which should be really good. Mercedes Moné wins. I didn't really love the finish, because when she went for the Moné Maker the first time and she was just running her face first in the turnbuckles over and over again, then she did like a victory roll, And she was still in control at that point. And then Mercedes Moné kicked out of the victory role, which just allowed her to be in control. And like Anna Jay just had to like sit there and wait to be, you know, sunset bombed into the bottom turnbuckle, then the knees, and then the Moné maker again. I just thought that they were doing such a great job for the rest of the thing. At that point, the finish felt mistimed, or like there was a spot that got missed or something, because Anna Jay went from, oh no, you're not going to do that to me, to yes, you could do that to me right now if you'd like. And it just didn't, there wasn't a spot in the middle. So
yeah, that's kind of how I felt. There was a lot to like about this match. I agree with you on the beginning of the show feeling weird. I used to love the hallmark of AEW of we start with action right away. They've gotten away from that in the past couple months, and it drives me crazy. Like, they've really, the past couple weeks, elevated their production, both in the live production and in video packages, and that's been great. But sometimes these episodes of Dynamite just feel so crowded with, like, here's this quick promo, and this backstage, and it's like, there are so many now segments of what's going on. I think they would benefit if those were spread out over Collision more and there was more breathing room on Dynamite. So I'm not someone that loves, like, you're tuning into wrestling and you're going to wait another 10 minutes to get to see wrestling. I also thought that Mercedes and Anna Jay, especially with what we ended up getting in the main event, should have main evented. It's a Mercedes Moné title defense over something that had essentially no stakes to it. You also could have, after backsliding with this division again, had 2 weeks in a row of title defenses for women in your main event. But that being said, Mercedes gear, the Sully from Monsters Inc. core. I don't know if it was symbolic of something more than that. I'm sorry, it's not meant to be insulting, but I love her gear. Yeah. I thought it looked awesome. I thought it was so cute and it was so much fun. Mercedes has a great Three Amigos, especially for someone of her size, which she's doing it to people that are bigger than her, especially. But what I really, really like about what we've seen from Anna Jay of recent, and it showed up a ton in this match, is it feels like she found what is now like her offense. There was a lot of her kind of, I don't want to say trying things out, because it was never like she looked completely lost in there, but I feel like whatever happened when she went away to Japan, there's just more certainty in what she's doing. And it showed up all over tonight, the footwork, her side to side movement, her just laying her S in more than she did before. Like, the kicks are looking really good. Mercedes sold like crazy for her too. I love the way Mercedes can sell for someone, especially getting kicked. Like, she looks really good. I'm with you on that. It felt like something in the ending disconnected of, it felt like Anna Jay did just kind of let her do the move. Like, it didn't feel like something happened there. And earlier in the match, like shortly earlier, she bit Anna to get out of it. And I feel like it's weird if the, this is such a weird thing, and maybe it's just a me thing, but I feel like if you bite someone, that should directly play into the finish more often than not, or at least for like a big breakaway moment or something. It just, that part of it felt disjointed, but the rest of this was all aces. Mercedes seems so much more locked in, like post All Out, I would say, from then to now, really that Momo match at Capital Collision to this point, especially, has just been like banger after banger, as the kids say. And a lot of upside to this. This is one of Anna Jay's best matches that she's had as well. Really liked what we got out of this.
Let's see here. Maddie Nice says, I can't remember a better wrestling weekly show than this one. Darby versus Ospreay was a debatable classic, and Anna Jay versus Moné was great. I put the debatable in there. I love the Mox story. I didn't watch anything for the main event. We'll talk more about that later. But I thought Anna Jay Moné was great, and I'm very happy for people who could enjoy wrestling when it doesn't meet their very narrow things that they want. And if wrestling is not exactly what you want, it makes you feel the worst. I'm really envious of people who can do that. But I can't, and I can't pretend to feel good tonight. So, I liked the FTR promo.
Sure.
I I didn't I thought they had been kidnapped and taken to a secret location. I did not realize it was just out to the parking lot to take a beating. I thought they had been like spirited away to a cabin in the woods somewhere
in North Carolina. Yeah.
But, but they were kind of promo from their home where they say they have been they're not cleared until for the rest of the 2024. Which is handy because there's only one more week of Dynamite after tonight. So, but they will be at Fight for the Fallen in their hometown in Asheville for all the charity stuff. And they say, we're coming for you, Death Riders, and we're not coming alone. So, three guesses as to who might be coming with them, and the first two don't count. So, yeah, it's... we'll see.
I mean, Adam Copeland, is that where your head's at?
Yeah, I was going to say Adam Copeland feels like he might be the right guy to come back. I do feel like Rated FTR or whatever they're going to call that is the perfect trio to take the titles off the Death Riders since the trio's division is kind of entirely stagnant now. Why don't we put the titles on some guys who will use the titles as opposed to them who just carry around as props? So,
I mean, like, I feel like we've seen a lot of really good progress from AEW over the past couple weeks, probably leading into about a month or so. And unfortunately for me, the world title picture is just the thing that I'm least excited about. And unfortunately, the world title picture also involves the trios titles. And that breaks my heart because, like, I was so excited when those guys won. Because I want to see those guys show out in defenses, and I'm looking around for a single trios titles defense or build to a trios title picture. And I also feel like it's not supporting the world title, which we're going to talk about later. But I kind of wish this was going the other way. I kind of want FTR to turn heel in this and join them because I feel like, one, the angle desperately needs it. And two, come on, you're telling me Dax Harwood not being like these egotistical little brats, I want to smush them into the ground. Wouldn't be great television? Like, I want to see that. And I also feel like FTR could also just use the changeup as well. So, but them being trios champions, I would not be mad at.
I think maybe it's the fact that they're doing this thing in Asheville that they didn't want. They had plans to turn them heel, but they're doing this thing in Asheville and they want to, you know, get some good feel good there. Makes a lot of sense. I liked them saying like, hey, you know what? We actually kind of agree with your message.
Yes, I love that.
We don't agree with your methods. And I honestly think that's a good distinction to draw because that's a lot of gray area and there should be more gray area in wrestling with your characters. Like, hey, we don't disagree with what you're saying about how there's too much ego and people need to put that aside. You know, an AEW is going in the wrong direction. We just don't think it's going the direction you think it's going in, and we don't want it to go in the direction you want it to go. So, you know, also maybe don't pour chemicals down the throats of people. That's a thing. I don't want FTR to turn heel anymore because that road leads to putting over the Outrunners, which can't happen. So this is much better for me. Them and Adam Copeland together feels like a fun trio. The trios division needs a real shot in the arm. Man, it feels like a long time since they made that feel like it was anything. Those three guys together could be a lot of fun, you know?
I agree with that. And I'm interested to see what happens when we get into 2025 as far as what TV schedules look like, especially. But FTR has always worked Collision. If Adam Copeland's willing to, too, I think that would be helpful because I feel like I disagree with people that say AEW has too many titles. I feel like they are all way too centralized to one program. I am a broken record about that. It feels like Dynamite's the only show that things happen on. So spread out the wealth and you're cooking again. And it doesn't feel like everything's so centralized. But when so much gold is centralized into one storyline, and we just got through this issue with WWE like a minute and a half ago, like it really starts to bog down some stuff. It really starts to bog down some stuff. But I really liked this promo too. I do love the idea of like, no, there's some guys back there that need their egos checked, but maybe murder's not like the best way to go about it. Like maybe it's not chemicals and plastic bags all the time. So good on FTR for solving your problems, not with not violence, but with non-homicidal violence. We respect that around here.
Right. Meat Norma says, hello, bros. There's a lot of meat in the ring for the Rampage opener. This crowd is so hot, you could cook meat on it. Then he says, crowd is currently chanting meat, take that, Kate. So that is a shot directly fired at you, our vegan correspondent.
Vegan correspondent? Well, I'm a live and let live kind of vegan, okay? I just like to be kind to animals. And if there's any meat that I support, it's wrestling meat, okay? Let's get big meaty men slapping meat.
Yeah. JW Pringle says, SGS on a Wednesday. It's a Christmas miracle. thank you very much, JW Pringle. Spencer Trainer says, holy S-word, it's Kate. Also, hi, Alex. I love Jay White's promo. OMG, there he is. Made me snort laugh. Yeah, there was a thing at the beginning, I think, where they were like talking to Renee about how they're going to do, and then here comes Hangman, and Jay White mockingly is afraid of him or something. But my favorite part of this whole thing was just OC being over all of this crap. He's just whatever. Can we just go fight these guys? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even want to be wrestling, and now you've added this onto there it. I mean, come on. There you go.
Yeah. Lady B says, this is just to say Kate looks like a total babe and smart AF, respectfully. Winky face emoji, XOXOXO.
Whoa. I mean, three XOs. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of love my way, but thank you so much. We're going to talk about it later because MVP at one point said he doesn't love kiss asses or nobody likes a kiss ass. I love a kiss ass. You want to give me a bunch of compliments? I'm here for it. So that's a great start. Thank you so much.
Right. So we got MJF coming out to say mean things about the Washington Wizards, which is the most kicking a guy when he's down that I've ever heard in my life. So I guess that's he says that he does a fake thing where if you buy the pay-per-view, some of the money will go to my foundation to provide it to putting this yellow bebe out of his misery or something. And then he puts up a photoshopped photo of Adam Cole.
It was photoshopped?
Yes.
It was. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
No, he's not quite that yellow. And also a little bit more filled out than that. He was very emaciated there. But his promo was interrupted by Adam Cole, who says that I talked to Tony Khan, and he's going to make sure that if you want that gold, that Dynamite Diamond ring, you're going to have to work extra hard to get it. And then he just brings out Mike Bennett and Matt Taven and says, these guys are going to help me. And I'm like, is it a diamond ring on a pole match? Is it a ladder match with a diamond ring hanging above?
Diamond ring suspended above the.
I don't know, but as this JP says, did Adam Cole announce a stipulation? Is this a ladder match now, or am I crazy? I kind of checked out when I saw that segment. Can't wait for this to be over. I can't wait for it to be over as well. It's in a different way, like the way that it ends to me. Kind of in now maybe it won't, but when it's like, these two guys, my pals, Mike and Matt, they're gonna make sure that you don't do anything chicanerous to me, because they're my pals and they'll be backing me up at ringside. Tony Khan said it was okay. So they're definitely turning on Adam Cole during the match, right, and joining forces with MJF, and then Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole will all patch things up. And that'll be the six-man feud we're having going forward, which to me is just like, all right, can that feud be done fast so we can get Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong doing things that I like? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
This was a little all over the place for me. Happy Hanukkah to MJF and his fantastic suit. Little things with MJF. when you're doing a Sally Struthers thing, like I have a blanket thing with him where he just does not modulate the volume of his voice at all. Like he sounds like voice of modulation guy from SNL. If you remember that guy a little bit, when you're doing a for 70 cents a day thing, like you gotta go with the peaks and the valleys right. of that. I would also say people in bad tanning houses shouldn't throw bad tanning stones. Okay, MJF, you've had your share of moments, but
this is true.
A couple other things with this. One place that I've seen MJF grow significantly, and he was good at it to start, but he's excellent at it now, in my opinion, is this was not that long of a segment, but he's really in tune with, I should give the audience one extra dig to make them hate me more and turn it up. And there was this moment kind of right before they threw to Adam Cole on the video on the Jumbotron that he said, just told the audience to shut up or whatever. And they got more boos. And then Adam Cole came up and I was like, ah, he like sensed the moment of like, let me get this last moment of heat before we throw it to there. Like he's really, really good at stuff like that. The other thing with this is, and I think this is part of why this has felt a little stuck in the mud, other than them trying to raise a phoenix from the ash of what the devil angle was, which was so tampered by the injuries.
Right.
MJF, the beauty of the way he works, in my opinion, is he frequently starts with cheap heat stuff and then backs into something really sincere with a lot of meat on the bone in his promos. This has kind of gone the opposite direction. And I feel like when you're going home to a feud, going home to that blow up, you want the sincere stuff to be the thing that you take into that. And now it's kind of like, well, we started with a betrayed friendship. I think this is hampered by the fact that I don't think we want MJF to be vulnerable again for a little bit. He's been betrayed, right? He's going to go back to being the asshole we all know and love. But like all the justification kind of came in the previous week. So then we were just left with the cheap heat stuff. And I feel like it doesn't work in reverse of that. Cause you want that, like, oh, the good stuff to be on the bone when you're going home to the feud. So that has also been a little bit why this has felt a little stuck in the mud to me, but my kingdom for anybody who thinks that possibly maybe someone will be standing behind them. If there's a Videotron that you're watching, like, Adam Cole, the babyface, sneak attacks him at the end of this because it was a pre-record all along. And I'm like, come on, like anybody in AEW, we're going to learn in a minute. Daniel Garcia knows how to do math, the first wrestler in history to know how to do so. And I understand this is a wrestling trope, but man, they go to the well a lot with this in AEW. It's
like there's three of you and only one of me and I'm outnumbered. And then a second guy shows up, which means there are three of them and only two of them. And then they rush the ring.
Mark Briscoe's insane enough. He's like at least.
Don't get me started on Mark Briscoe, man. Don't get me started on Mark Briscoe. He's on my S list now too.
Doesn't book anything that we know of.
No, he does. But I will always associate him with me feeling bad. So, and that's my psychopathy, and I can't change it. Unfortunately, I want to. I really want to. If there was a pill I could take that could make me not feel this way, my God, I would just. I would shake the whole bottle in my mouth every day. I would. Lupangi Vice says, Kate, given major Martha May Huvier vibes, and I'm all here for it. So well, that's thank good, you. Right? That's
I'll take it. I'll take compliments. If you're going to pay to compliment me, please, all day. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And also, you have the best handle ever, so that means a lot because you're clearly someone of taste.
Right, yeah. Tom LaValle says FTR and Cope running collision with the trios belts. Yes, says Tom LaValle. I think it's a decent idea that they could do that and would be something fun to watch on Saturdays. I do. Jamie Hayter cut her promo on Julia Hart. They're gonna do that at Fight for the Fallen, I think. That's a good spot to do that. I don't feel like. You know, as we say, there can only be one women's title match on a pay-per-view. So evidently, so then do that on a big Dynamite, I guess the Wednesday afterwards.
I mean, it's not like Athena's going to be showing up with her title anytime soon. So.
Crazy talk. But Jamie versus Julia is has a lot of potential, but I'm waiting for that first Julia justification, because I think she actually got a lot better on her promos as she got more into the character and her being able to tell Jamie why she's coming for her specifically should be hopefully fun. I like that.
A jewelification, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The vignettes have been great. The kind of booking of that Wrestling Dynasty Cup was predictable, but predictable is fine when it's good, right? I'll take it. So I'm excited for that. We also just didn't see a lot of JB Hayter promos during her reign, so I'm glad that we're getting to see more of her personality a little bit. That makes me happy too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she looks amazing, so just ridiculous.
How yes. She is.
Upsetting.
There's a Kenny Omega video package, which is
nice. My God.
He's going to have a match at the Wrestle Dynasty show, which will be a lot of really great. And looking forward to having him back. That'll be a major thing for AEW.
Yeah, sure. Wrestling's better when that guy's healthy and active. 100%. Like it just is. Yeah.
Nick Wayne and Christian Cage defeated Hook and Shibata via chicanery. That Shibata had Nick Wayne basically choked out from behind the sleeper hold. Was able to run over and boot Sabian off the apron. But then Rick Knox saw a shiny thing what happened is that Mother Wayne stood up on the apron and jingled some keys, and Rick Knox wandered over there and batted at them for a bit. And that allowed Christian Cage to run into the middle of the ring a foot behind Rick Knox and hit the kill switch on Shibata. And then Wayne just rolled over, put an arm across Shibata's chest and pinned him. And Hook looked really pissed. I wonder if maybe the numbers game could be alleviated by a very large Samoan Joseph. I want Samoa Joe back. I think maybe if they figure out a way to get a Christian versus Hook match on World's End, like not that I think that feud has a whole lot of heat behind it right now, but if that's at World's End, having Samoa Joe show up at the anniversary of him winning the title would be a really cool little nod, like a little symbolic thing. Like he won the title at World's End, and maybe then a year later he shows up again just to, you know, make a big pop kind of a I don't know.
Did you say Christian versus Hook?
Christian versus Hook, right?
Yeah, he's got the contract signed, right?
Right.
For the world title.
He does?
I'm just thinking, like, that's going to come into play in that world title picture, I feel like.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it's possible that's what they do. But right now, there's the fatal four-way.
So
He could cash it in during the Fatal 4-Way, for sure, but he's not in the match yet, I don't believe.
No, I just feel like either... We're going to talk about the world title picture anymore, but he's... They should have just had Nigel win at Wembley and just lose to Danielson, and we wouldn't have this thing hanging over our head.
A lot of things would have been a lot cleaner if AEW had booked them differently, but they didn't, so now we got to deal with it.
So here we are.
That's kind of just the way it is.
I just feel like it's been too present on the show for that not to come into play either after the match or whatever. Like, I feel like that's going to be there because I feel like all the other people are kind of heading in different directions that are challenging Moxley, so I don't know. But I would love to get a Christian and Hook blow off, and yes, Samoa Joe, like Kenny Omega, just wrestling's better when he's active on your program. No, there's just no big man like him, and him coming back into this picture kind of feels overdue in the sense of not like we've been out without Samoa Joe for too long. 'Cause one episode is too long without Samoa Joe, but
that's true.
The multi-man booking of late is feels like a lot of things are overstaying their welcome, and this is one of them a little bit. I'm like, I just have seen these permutations of guys wrestle each other so many times it feels like that it's getting a little old. Don't love Shibata taking the pin, but like, of course.
Yeah Luis saying that he thinks that Joe will return at Hammerstein during the Hook versus Nick Wayne match, which will set up Patriarchy versus the Joe Hook Shibata Hook Jukbata. That's, I believe, is what I decided to call them when there they were a thing. Jukbata for World's End, or even Fight for the Fallen. Yeah, that's certainly possible. I confess to not knowing all of the things that are being taped at Hammerstein this weekend, so I did not realize there was a Hook versus Nick Wayne match. So, that's as good a good time as any.
Yeah, it's Final Battle, Collision, and Dynamite getting taped for the holidays, so that should be an exciting slate of programs. But I, you know, if we're talking FTR and Adam Copeland becoming trios titles, that would be a really fun first heel contender to kind of, after that angle cleared out, would be to have Christian and his minions, not Athena and her minions, but Christian's. Right. Christian's sons facing them would be a really fun and fresh combo. I think that could be a really fun thing.
Yeah. There was a Chris Jericho vignette from New York that I fast forwarded through. So
I'm liking honestly, like, I don't know if it's just because I'm from New York or because I think Jericho's more manageable in doses like this, but him just calling himself the King of New York and making all these references that are incorrect of like the penthouses in Spanish Harlem to the whatever, like those are kind of popping me. And I feel like it's so much more manageable in these kind of produced vignettes. My thing was that I felt like Jericho was going to retain against Matt Cardona, but they showed him shaking hands with a Jets fan. So I can only assume he's going to lose just because I think that's contagious at this point. But these have been pretty funny and some of the things that I've liked more that Jericho's done in this more recent reign for sure. So quick, simple, to the point, was just kind of promoting that Final Battle match and misidentifying things in New York City in a very clever way.
Jambeard says that Jukbata sounds like a new form of martial arts combat, and I'd love to learn it. That does sound like that. That would be really great.
It does. It does.
Meet Normus says that lines were long during the Jericho segment when he was at the thing.
It couldn't have been too long. It was a really short vignette.
all I could get was unsalted and unbuttered popcorn, basically two packs of ass. Now let's crank. And then he says Ospreay should have won, which is a true statement. There's a Bandito vignette that apparently was collateral damage in my fast forwarding through Jericho. I was a little too liberal on the fast forwarding through Jericho and must have missed a Bandito vignette. Was he also being pursued by bounty hunters again? I that's too bad because I really would have loved to have seen that. I really like Bandito and happy he's coming back soon.
Well, aren't we fast with our fast forward fingers? But this was a little maybe.
Yeah.
A little different than the past 2 weeks. This kind of focused more on his in-ring highlights and stuff. We had like the cool intro to it, but just kind of a reminder of who Bandito is. If you're not as familiar, if you've picked up Dynamite, I didn't realize this, but Sean had mentioned it's been like 18 months since he was out. So if you started watching the product, you just aren't familiar with this guy's game if you hadn't seen him elsewhere. So he's fantastic. And I think there's a ton of potential of him to face some people and give them some different types of matches than we've gotten to see them have so far. So I'm very excited for his return and just like what a journey with this injury, right? Like I'm excited that he is able to come back to the product finally.
Yeah. The Mariah May promo where she says that how can you say this division is alive and well when I killed it? And it's mine. I mount stuff that mounted it on the wall or whatever. She talks about Thunder Rosa and how she's bringing her dad to the Tijuana street fight or whatever. But is your dad a failure like you or something? I'm not bringing my dad. I don't want him to see him to do what I see him. I don't want him to see what I'm going to do to you. All right. I mean, Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa is going to be a kick-ass street fight. It's going to
They're going to beat the hell out of each other.
They're going to beat the hell out of each other, and that's great. It does feel like, I guess it has always felt like that to me, that whatever we do with Mariah May, we're killing time for Toni Storm to come back. And now she's back, and they're doing stuff that is keeping her from acknowledging that her path is to get the title back. She's doing a thing which for the time being I'm really enjoying, but it's artificially extending the time between the Mariah May Toni Storm rematch and so the match between Mariah May and Thunder Rosa turn out to be an all-timer of a women's street fight. I feel like there's a very good chance that it turns out to be that. And there's no chance in hell Thunder Rosa's winning. So, like, because you know that the rest of the story doesn't end there for Mariah May. She has to carry the title, probably into the Grand Slam thing, and then face Toni Storm for that title there. But
yeah, I think we've known that since the beginning of Mariah's reign. So when you've done that math, it will kind of hamper things. But one thing I really loved about this promo, just because if people don't know my attachment to Thunder Rosa, Mariah May talked about Thunder Rosa being a social worker in Mexico. And if you listen to her on Talk is Jericho, the way she talks about what wrestling did for her when her cup was so empty from doing that work, because it's also not like being a social worker in America is hard enough. She had like kids that she was tending to just dying like all the time, it sounded like, which is so unbelievably heartbreaking. But that wrestling was something that really saved her. And something about the way that she spoke about, I have never done anything that heroic in my life, and I'm not here to pretend that I was, but when she talked about like the importance of being able to recharge yourself and how wrestling did that for her and all these things, that was something I really, when she was speaking about that honestly and vulnerably in that interview, just felt really, really connected to. I got to meet her the next day after listening to that, and we had this really wonderful exchange. So always Team La Mera Mera for a lot of reasons, but that being one of them. I'm very excited for the street fight. These two, they beat the crap out of their opponents, and they're going to beat the crap out of each other. I also feel like it's good that we're finally getting Thunder Rosa in this world title picture, because she never really lost the title. She had to vacate because of injury. And she is a top women's wrestling star, and she should be treated like one, and she should be booked like one near the top of the card. Excuse me. So I'm excited that she is being portrayed in the light of being in the women's world title picture, because I believe she belongs there. So even if the outcome is inevitable, I just think it's a healthy sign that we're getting Thunder Rosa in matches like that. But Alex, I will say I agree with you, because if I were to lay odds on it, I think it would be very obvious that Mariah May is winning. But not everything is so predictable, Alex.
No, it's true. It's true.
Sometimes we got underdog lock picks on FightfulSelect.com. And sometimes you can take that information right over to BetOnline.ag.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them.
and we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second, there's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag.
That's
wonderful,
right.
partner to us.
Yes, that's the Harley Cameron ad is always very great. They should play that even after Christmas. They should have her do. They should have her sing various carols for other. Are there Valentine's Day carols, Easter carols,
make them
St. Patrick's Day carols? Yeah, let's do it because she's great.
Did you know that she does? What does this woman not do? Can somebody tell me? She's a ventriloquist, and she's doing cameos with her ventriloquist partner. I forget his little name, but I was like, is there something she's not incredibly good at? Because she's amazing. Does her voice sound, maybe this is just me, does she sound a little like Harley Graham to you? Like a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, but they don't have the same facial structure. You can tell through the mask.
Through the mask? It just, I don't know. Maybe they were cousins or something. I don't know. She kind of sounded like her. I'm just saying.
Maybe. Ricochet. Is supposed to have an in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone, and he
whilst wearing a very cool suit, might I mean, add?
He brags about the suit. Then the Hurt Syndicate comes out, they just make Ricochet look terrible. They make him look as bad as I've seen him look, even in his WWE time, where he's like, hi guys, it's really great to have you out here. I really like all of you. We all look so great. You're Shelton Benjamin, you're sure to win your match next. And then they say, you still have that card, says MVP. Yes, I do. We'll take it out. And then Bobby Lashley grabs him around the jaw and takes it from him. And MVP tears it up and says, nobody likes to kiss ass. Get out of the ring. And Ricochet does. He just leaves. And I'm like, because I thought the last two matches I watched him have in the Continental Classic, I was like, okay, this is the Ricochet. They do more of this Ricochet in ring, because he's got a lot of great potential here. And he just got sunned by these three dudes that he still thinks it's a possibility he's going to join up with them. Like, they took the card away from you and tore it up in your face in the middle of the ring in front of everybody. Like, I don't feel like there's a pathway for you to join them now. But he's still like, oh, no, it'll be cool. And then Swerve, like, he's talking to Ricochet. He's like, oh, now let the homies do what the homies do. I'm just going to be Ricochet looking great in this fly suit. And then in walks Swerve. And Swerve's like, you're still the same old Trevor. You're a follower. Or as Cody Rhodes would call it, a walk behind her. that's not going to cut it here, Trevor. And they get a little bit in the face of each other. I wouldn't want to see in a series of Swerve versus Ricochet matches, but like this thing, all of this to me did some damage to the perception of Ricochet as a guy who, you know, was in the middle of being a kiss ass, was called out as a kiss ass while being manhandled by a dude, and then just was like, hey, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Go get him, Shelton. Like, how is this a guy that we're supposed to be impressed by?
I just can't emphasize enough that if you're a kiss ass towards me, I'm fine with it. So I don't know why MVP was like, I don't like that you're complimenting me. I'll take compliments, especially when you guys are paying to give them to me. But yeah. I'm confused by this, and I'm going to, quote unquote, let it play out because
I'm just have no choice but to do that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Because I didn't like it. And then when they kind of set up something between Ricochet and Swerve, I was like, is this some sort of red herring? Like, and why? If this was supposed to be a tying up a loose ends thing because everybody is talking about it, I don't like it because Ricochet just kind of walked away like a chump. He didn't defend himself at all. He didn't like, there was no meat on the bone there at all. But the fact that they set something up with Swerve makes me think that like he is going to get absorbed in it to some degree. I just don't know. I didn't like the segment in a vacuum. I'll give it time to see where it's going because it feels unfinished to me. But the way it felt unfinished felt bad tonight. Like this is of all the Hurt Syndicate segments that we've gotten at Dynamite, this I think was the only one that I feel like wasn't like a hit to me. But I liked the backstage we get later because Ricochet says, I got to focus on the Continental Classic. And that's when Swerve says, as you had said, Ricochet, no, Trevor, you're still the same follower. But I like Ricochet having fire towards him saying, well, you didn't win the Continental Classic last year. Why am I going to listen to you? Like, I'm good. I don't need advice from someone who lost this last year. But like, he should have had a little bit of bite back at the Hurt Syndicate, it felt like, which makes me think that this is not done. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But I agree with you. It felt like we were just kind of settling into what Ricochet can be in AEW. And then they cut the legs out from under it in tonight's segment. That felt a little bit off to me. But man, was Swerve over in that small backstage. Crowd was just
huge.
Who's hat? Like the huge whole time. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just looking at
the super chats that have come in. Would you like to read some of them?
Yeah, I was going to read them. I was just looking at the Gold League right now. And anyway, Tom LaValle says Rick's suit was the worst he has worn in AEW IMO. It's possible it was intentional that he was talking up the worst suit that he has. So, you know,
I don't think that was the worst suit.
I don't know.
I need to see them all side by side.
Luis says, I think this is them teasing that he is actually going to join the Hurt Syndicate, and that happens after he beats Ospreay on Saturday. Like, Ospreay's not going to lose two in a row, is he? Like, my heart can't take it. Like, I'm not going to be... Okay, so...
Everyone's telling me this was a bad suit. I thought it was all right, but you guys want to tell me? I don't know fashion. This is from JCPenney's, I think. Like, it's fine.
We got Shelton versus Beast Mordos. Shelton wins. Beast Mordos gets to look pretty good, but Shelton is very, very strong here. The Gold League is in a position where there's going to be like a five-way tie, and it's you don't have to put things like that. You can, I suppose, it's a way to go, but it hurts my brain, so I don't like it. Shelton is excellent. I'm really happy he's getting strong victories where he gets them. He has extra matches left over. So we'll see what goes through here coming out. But I thought this was excellent. They beat the hell out of Beast Mordos afterwards.
Yeah, literally kicking a man when he's down. In the most literal sense possible.
And then they said, Danny Garcia, this is what you're gonna get on Saturday. Danny Garcia came out and said, there's three of you and one of me. But I think everybody here in Washington, D.C. wants to see a fight. So, and then Mark Briscoe came out to join them, and they decided the two of them were going to take on the entirety of the Hurt Business. And Mark Briscoe got a cane snapped over his back, and Bobby Lashley put down Danny Garcia hard, and then they left the TNT championship laying across him. So this coming out of this, we get maybe a TNT title feud coming out of this, which is Garcia and Benjamin. I guess that's the best thing, but there are so many possibilities for how the Continental Classic can shake out. And one of them is okay with me, and it's not the one I'm going to get. And so I'm very sad, and Christmas is canceled. And so you talk about this now.
Okay, I will. Also, Lupongi by saying he was giving Matilda's dad in that suit. Okay, you guys win. Okay. I find it funny that tournament matches are the things that need the least amount of dovetailing, but had a right. lot of dovetailing tonight,
a lot of dovetailing.
Which is great. Like, I like the fluidity of that so much. Whoever's handling the Hurt Syndicate segments and where they're laid out in episodes is obviously very intentional, because we have a lot of that with them specifically and with the C2, which is great. Like, it always seems like their matches are mm-hmm. strategically woven in and out of the show. So I do like a great deal of that. Shelton and Beast Mortos was a blast. Shelton is, I mean, he's closing it on 50 years old, and he's a sight to see. Like, he's amazing. Just incredible. Amazing. He's so, so strong still. Like, just... He's been such a great guy to have in this tournament, because he's the guy this year who was probably not going to win, but has gotten to show out. And that's awesome, because we've been waiting his whole career for him to get to show out in a tournament. This year's C2, I am having less fun with than last year's C2, but definitely more fun than Alex is having. But what happened?
You would have to, because I'm having the least amount of fun.
You're having the least amount of fun. You want to get off the ride, and I understand. Mm. It feels like there's different directions you can go when you're laying out a whole tournament, right? And I think this year they said these are all world-class wrestlers, and sometimes the best wrestlers in the world even lose on a given night, and everybody's going to be in the mix this year. And it's going to be unpredictable because of that, because you're going to see upsets more than you did in previous. Mm-hmm. It also solves the problem of, if you're going to put guys in there again, they have to have a better showing than they did last year. I know how you feel about the Mark Briscoe thing, but we sat here and said, what's his excuse for basically losing out going to be this year? Because last year his reasoning was, I've never been a singles wrestler before. This is all new to me. And so this year he's having a better C2 because he was a champion and he has more experience. So they, I think, are justified in their approach. I'm just not having as much fun with it this year, which is okay. Right. Because it's more.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
More fun for someone else, because they like that everybody's still in the mix this late into it, right? So last year I just felt like was so perfect in how everybody had these really powerful character arcs coming in and out of it. And because of the way they've chosen to approach it this year, you just don't have that. You don't have that. Right. And I am excited about the possibilities between Shelton Benjamin and Daniel Garcia. I'm a wrestling mm-hmm. fan. Of course I am. But we right. so easily could have gotten to that outside of the C2. Like Danny Garcia, yeah. if he doesn't win it, feels like a wasted spot. And I hate the idea of him. The first thing after I do, after I win this title belt, is go into a tournament. for something else. Like that just feels like a waste of what you're doing with that title, which needed some fresh blood. So, but it's definitely not my favorite way, but it makes wrestling sense in that it's exciting the further you get into it because everybody's in the mix here.
Yeah. We are getting Okada versus Shelton next week. That's a major deal. If Okada beats Shelton, he'll have 10 points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Should be enough to advance and maybe enough to outright win it depending on other results. If Shelton wins, he'll have 9, but he also has another match left over versus Daniel Garcia. So if Shelton wins out, which I don't expect, but then again, I didn't expect Mark Briscoe to beat Kyle Fletcher or Daniel Garcia. So if Shelton wins out, he'll have 12, which would put him easily at the top.
Right.
If Kyle Fletcher beats Daniel Garcia, then he's going to have 12 and he'll advance. Even if Okada beats Shelton, then it would be 12 and 10. But what I'm looking at here on the Blue League is there's a possibility there's a 4-way tie. You know what I mean? Not a 4-way tie. There's basically a tie for first, which means those two people advance. And there's also a tie for second, which means those two people are out of it. 10-10 and 9-9. And the people who could be tied for 9 are the people who I would kind of want to advance and or whatever. It doesn't really matter. None of the things happen that I want them to. And that's fine because
what about draws though?
I'm an adult and I should be able to deal with it when I don't get in my way. But sometimes I am a toddler and I'm not and I can't deal when I can't get my own way. Thank you, Kylie. Says hi, Alex. It'll be okay. We love you.
Hi, Kylie.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Kylie. We love you so much. Luis says, I still think Okada and Garcia go through in the Blue League. Feels almost tailor-made for those two to go through with Briscoe getting sacrificed to Mordos while Benjamin loses 2 back-to-back against Garcia and Okada. But that means Fletcher doesn't advance, and I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with doing that to Fletcher after he beat Ospreay. That is a dereliction of duty on the part of Tony Khan. If he puts Fletcher in the C2 after beating Ospreay and doesn't have him advance out of group play.
That's, and quite frankly, like they should probably be meeting in the semifinals or the finals, right? Like that should be a thing.
Doesn't make any sense to me. So
I will say, like I say, like, this hasn't been my favorite way. I cannot believe in 2024 we're getting Okada versus Shelton Benjamin. Like, that's incredible, right? So, I'm still very much enjoy, for me, because I have a little bit less of this disease than you do. I still am enjoying that part of the C2 very, very much. But I just, last year's approach felt so careful. Like everything was so crafted. It just doesn't seem to have that same nuance this year.
Right. Jambeard says the reason I think the Hurt Syndicate is an upgrade to the Hurt Business is because Shelton Benjamin now looks like a right-hand man to Bobby rather than just a stooge or a
goon. That's well said.
And I get it. Yeah.
That's well said. I loved the Hurt Business in WWE too, but Shelton Benjamin has been one of the best wrestlers in the world and nobody got to see it properly for a while. So very cool.
Zach Semmel says, does no one also take note that Fletcher gave Okada his first pin? Fletcher is my pick to take it all. Yes, he should be, but along the way, he should not be losing to Mark Briscoe. I'm firm on this. I'll die on the hill. I will die on the hill, resurrect myself, and die again for eternity. So anyway, moving on.
That was some religious shit right there.
Yeah, there you go. Tony Storm segment, brilliant. She's brilliant. She's a brilliant performer.
Beyond.
She's the best. And JP says this, and I'm inclined to agree with him. Tony Storm is the wrestler of the year, regardless of gender. This new wrinkle to the angle is awesome. Wrestler, I think professional wrestler certainly includes performer.
Sure.
And when you put in performer, there's nobody out there who does what Toni Storm does. Nobody. Uh-uh. She has fully harnessed this character in a character where the degree of difficulty is staggering. Like, there's certain things where in figure skating or in gymnastics, you can do a routine perfectly, but you're going to get less points than somebody else who did their routine perfectly because theirs has a higher degree of difficulty. The degree of difficulty of Timeless Toni Storm then going away for a while, then coming back with some kind of retrograde amnesia where you know there's Timeless Toni Storm somewhere in there, but she won't let it out until the exact right moment. That is impossible. That's impossible for a lot of like really trained like actors to do. She's killing it. And I mean, I don't know how much longer this Mariah May. Oh, well, she's the best. And I can't wait for me to meet her face to face for the first time. I don't know how much longer that's going to continue. I hope not too much longer, because there's a shelf life where it starts to get a little hard to buy. But for now, it's so good. It's so, so good.
Matthew Hooks, who sponsored the Fightful Awards, by the way, and sponsors Sour Graps once a month, said, "See, y'all complained about Tony and we're wrong. You got to give things some time." No, we don't. We don't. We just react right away.
That's just not part of the deal. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing with Toni Storm is, I think part of why she's so great at this is because she loves wrestling and she doesn't run from the grind, and she loves rock and roll. So I learned her today.
Right.
What's so amazing about this, Alex, was when she came back, and before it was apparent to everyone, like before Rampage, that this was probably her playing some version of herself. When she first just showed up as Rock and Roll Toni Storm, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. She's like a little choked up. Like it was like, oh, what a sweet moment.
Yeah.
Because it was her debut, Alex. She was choked up because it was her debut. AEW. Yep. My God, the nuance of this woman is unbelievable.
Yeah.
RJ City great in this as well, saying like, you know, what comes to mind when I mention these names? Soraya, legend. Mercedes Moné, one of the greats. Mariah May, who's doing it better than Mariah May? Like, just so fantastic. I'm so intrigued to see what this is. Is she, there's a part of me that went down this rabbit hole of, is she playing Mariah May playing herself because Mariah May played her to dethrone her from the title? Or is she just absolute Looney Tunes, split personalities, no idea what's happening? And I love that I don't know that, because I feel like I'm along for the ride now, and it's going to be a fun one. And I actually think this is a great way to kind of kickstart things again while Mariah May has this thing with Thunder Rosa, and we can kind of move into what's next. But I just, what brilliant work we've gotten from her all year. And what's so funny is when this first started, like, I had no idea this was in Toni Storm. I had no, I've seen her be funny. I've seen her be great. I've seen her be character driven. I did not know her ceiling was this high on the character side before this angle started. Like, what an incredible evolution we've seen of this crazy, crazy woman.
Jambria says that RJ was perfect in the segment with Timeless 80s rocker Tony. He was very good, because you could tell he was just like, why are you doing this? And he was able to figure out by the end, it's like, she's not doing it. She honestly has no memory of any of this.
I love it. It's Toni time. And she's like, oh, that's great. I'm going to use that. Like, the whole thing was such a home run.
Tom LaValle says, RJ and Toni are already killing this angle already. I have no idea where this is going, but they have my complete trust. Take us to the top again. Yep. That's how it works. Sure. For sure. So, this is where I apologize specifically to Cassio Dax, who sent in, damn, I really like tonight's show. Alex is kind of stepping all over my buzz, and I wish I wasn't this person.
I've been excited about it. I'm here too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know. but apparently I am the person who kills the buzz.
You turned off the Christmas lights, Alex. That's what happened. Yes,
I certainly apologize to Cassio Dax for stepping all over your buzz. There's certainly looking at the match between Ospreay and Darby objectively, it's a tremendous match, and it's one of the best that Darby's ever wrestled in his life. He's in there with Will Ospreay. All that had to happen for me to not hate this with the fire of 1,000 suns was for Will to win. That's all that had to happen. That's all that had to happen. Everything else was, I would love this match. If Darby, every match Darby is in, I would love if he lost. That's just it. I can't stand watching Darby Allin win. I can't get over it. I've tried. I've sat and I've said to myself, what is it about this particular person that irks me so much? And I can't even put it into words. So like, it was a fantastic match. And I just can't. I can't live. I don't want to. I don't want to exist in a world where Will Ospreay loses to Darby Allin. I don't want to do it. So like that, it just makes me feel sad that I live in that world. There's a lot of things that happen in the world that make me feel sad that I live in a world where X could happen. Of all those things, this is way down on the list of things that are important. Because I've chosen to give myself over to this medium, to watch it constantly, to critique it, trying to find ways of at least bringing some variant of analysis that I think is worthwhile and is something that I can give to the people that maybe has some weight or worth to it. I have decided to do all of this with my life, and then things that happen that I have no control over that just make me sad. And that's all. That's all it is.
And I knew that was going to be stuck in your craw, and this is actually kind of fun because I feel differently than you pretty strongly. And that's not always the case with you and I. So and for me, the reasons that I don't like Darby were, I don't not like Darby. I don't like the way his matches can feel very one note, meaning that sometimes we go to the well of he's doing crazy, crazy stuff. And that's it. And the crazy stuff he's doing is objectively the craziest thing you've ever seen. And he finds new and insane ways to do crazy stuff. But when I see him and MJF at Full Gear a couple years ago and see the wrestler that he can be, what I would prefer from Darby Allin matches and the way that they're produced is a lot of times we get that crazy stuff. But damn, when the wrestling foundation needs to come out, it's there. And we just don't get to see that enough for my liking. But in this match, I think we really got to. And I also think we're getting a little bit of a character thing with Will Ospreay where maybe he's not so unflappable after losing to Kyle Fletcher. So I feel like this actually has some takeaways to it. The whole sequence of, well, first of all, the maniacal choice for Will Ospreay to roll out of the way for the coffin drop to the outside and Darby just to plummet. I don't know how you climb Mount Everest without a spine, but I think the tattooed spine that he has up his back is the only spine he has left. Like, absolutely freaking nuts. The Code Red, Hidden Blade, Stormbreaker counter sequence, unreal. All the 299999999 kickouts with Will Ospreay was nuts. The Styles Clash to the ground. Very cool you attempted it. Never do it again. My heart jumped in my throat the way that Will Ospreay landed standing up. Yeah, and
that was the thing.
Darby, I was just screaming.
If Will Ospreay tears all the ligaments in his knee, And has to miss a year. And when he comes back, he's never the same Will Ospreay again. And he does all that to protect Darby Allin, who dives off of giant ladders through plate glass windows onto chairs like it's nothing. You do not need to protect that man. He likes it. If he does all that to protect Darby Allin and he gets that out of it, I wouldn't be able to deal with it anymore.
You know well, I mean? And like, also, like, not even in the finals, not even close to the finals of this tournament, right? Yeah. But I felt like Will also sold the hell out of it. So kudos to him, because I was like, that entire time, I was just paralyzed. I was so nervous. Let's never do it again. It was very cool that you did it. Never again. For my own sake, please, for me personally. The multiple coffin drops to put him away, the protected leg. I feel like what I don't normally get from Darby is enough of this. The in-ring story that was there. I felt like this was actually a great fusion of the Daredevil side of him with also looking like a pro wrestler that is clever and smart in the ring, and trying to win matches rather than do stunts with some wrestling moves in between. The suicide dives to the outside are always insane, and they always look like they're trying to take someone out. But today, I just feel like we got so much more of Darby Allin wrestling a match than we normally get with some of this very high-risk stuff in between. So I liked it because it felt like a cohesive match to me. I also felt like it was protected. And I also feel like Will Ospreay gets something out of the loss, and that he might be questioning himself a little bit after losing the momentum with Fletcher, and can he do this on his own and stuff like that. So I feel the opposite as you, but I normally agree with you on Darby, and that I feel like a lot of times his matches are produced to one strength out of many strengths that I think he probably has. And so I liked this because I felt like this was a lot different. And I also felt like there was a lot that worked around the fact that he's just physically a much smaller guy. Like, there was a lot of stuff in here that went out of its way to help us dismiss that a little bit or work around that reality in this match. So I really liked it. I can understand why you didn't like the ending, but I think this C2 is meant to have a bunch of surprises in it, as opposed to last year, which had some surprises, but we were just like, where's this going the whole time?
Right. No, I hate surprises. I hate surprises. I want things to work out the way they should in my head. I don't sit and look at the Gold League and Blue League when the things come out, and I don't sit and look at them for 4 hours laying out exactly how it should go, so I get surprised a bunch of times. That sucks. Like, I don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, God, I'm like, oh no, but if this happens then and that happens then, then it would be perfect. And then the things that I wanted to happen to make it perfect don't happen. And so, like, it just, yeah. So, no, it would, yeah, it's not.
This would make Alex, he would be in a home. Alex would be,
wouldn't be in a
I don't, local medical facility. Yeah.
Where I don't watch. I saw somebody say in there that, like, that it should work out that, like, Darby and Claudio have a draw, which costs Claudio from going on to the semis.
That would be, spoiler.
The problem with that is Tony Khan, for some reason, scheduled the Darby and Claudio match to be Claudio's second to last match. And his final match is against Commander, who he's automatically going to beat. So even if he gets the draw against Darby, it doesn't have the impact of being the final thud. In his run with the C2, I have no idea why. The whole thing seems, the only reason that Darby said he was even in the damn thing was to stop Claudio from winning it. And now it looks like they're just going to have Darby win the whole damn thing. So because he's definitely beating Claudio, at least getting a draw with Claudio, and probably beating Ricochet. So, you know, it's just a thing. I can't explain why. Some things you hate and you can't explain why. For some people, it's Brussels sprouts. For me, it's Darby Allin. I hate it. Can't explain why. And so it'll never be a thing for me. I've accepted that he's going to beat Jon Moxley for the title. This is my version of being a doomsday prepper. My world will end on that day, and so I'm just preparing with little things. So that when the world ends, I can be at least comfortable.
That's how it works. That's been my thing, is it feels like he's been targeting Moxley for months and now is going after a tournament that's for Okada's title. Like, that's my bigger issue of him being in here.
Right. Tim McFall says money's for a wellness check on Alex. I'm fine. I wasn't, but I'm fine now. Glad Kate is here to keep Alex from committing wrestle-side. Hold on. Joking aside, the holidays can be tough for a lot of people. So check on your friends and family. Yes, they absolutely can. Not making light of that at all. Just in a bad mood tonight. And that's certainly not nearly as serious as the people who are dealing with some actual serious stuff right now. And to those people, my heart genuinely goes out.
Yeah, holidays can be a really tough time for people. I know, gosh, like, right, Sean has not been quiet about it. Like, this is the first time in his life that he's going through the holidays without some of the most important people to him, right? So, genuinely, check in on your people. If you're having a hard time, talk to your people if you can. People that have recovery issues, especially with alcohol, be extra kind to them because you're going through the trifecta of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then New Year's. So in a world that has a lot more going on than wrestling, we love you, and we hope that you find relief here.
Lieutenant Photo saying that I have time now to build the brick wall in my basement. That actually is being hung by the drywall guys.
Hell yeah.
The drywall guys are coming in tomorrow. They're going to hang up the brick wall paneling in my office tomorrow. Now, it won't be finished. We still have to put in the ceiling and the electrical and the flooring. So don't look for the brick wall to be there by New Year's Day. But we're hoping it's there by February.
Hell yeah.
So thank you very much. Lord Peter is saying, I appreciate Ospreay eating losses to elevate the rest of the roster as much as the next guy. But enough already. Let's go on a run, bruv. And that's part of my deal, is that Will Ospreay, I do believe, is the greatest wrestler in the world. And therefore, the people who beat him should be very, very, to be highly, specifically chosen. It's just not just like, oh, I lost a match in a tournament because that doesn't happen with Will Ospreay. It shouldn't happen with Will Ospreay. Like, he should losing to Swerve was a big deal. That was a major thing. Losing to Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay losing to Darby Allin automatically drops Kyle Fletcher, because if other people can beat the greatest guy in the world, then Kyle Fletcher beating him doesn't feel as important to me. And I would say that if anybody in the tournament beat Will Ospreay.
Sure, Will Ospreay. I do think
so. That's my thing.
I do think he's also a future world champion, so I think this is supposed to help Darby along. I also would say that knee injury thing was not like an accident to be agented in there, right? Like,
right.
Kyle Fletcher beat a healthy Will Ospreay. Darby Allin beat a beat to hell by Darby Allin, but also by himself, Will Ospreay, who took things a little too far, right? So I'm okay, because I feel like the story justified the means there, and I do think it is a productive thing for Darby Allin moving forward. I think Darby probably does win the title, and you can have a rematch with Will Ospreay. Maybe Will beats Darby someday. So I understand where you're coming from, and I understand where that super chat's coming from, but I'm more okay with it because I think they still are chosen losses. They're just chosen in a different light than you want them to be chosen.
Oh yeah, they have to be chosen by me. I thought that was implied.
I have to
be the person to choose the specific people to beat Will Ospreay. I'm sorry. I thought that was implied. Vicky says, Kate, great to see you. Alex, please no Darby hate. Vicky, I love you so much.
Vicky, we're so sorry. I'm a little late on that. we read that chat a little late. Yeah.
Revolution, entertaining and reckless as hell. Yeah, I don't know. That bump off the side of the canvas was nuts. It was nuts. It was
that
nuts.
Was crazy.
That led to him losing by count out. That's the thing about Darby, is that I feel like he is booked to be impervious to things he should not be impervious to. And that's part of why I don't like, you can do all that crap.
That's why it's stuck in your craw, but that's why everyone likes him.
You should do all that crap, but it has to come back to bite you in the ass every single time you do it. That is my feeling about Daredevil wrestlers. That's always been my feeling about Daredevil wrestlers.
Every time, but I would say it should probably happen with Darby more times than it does. I will say that.
92% of the time. I'll give you that 8%. Ospreay taking a loss is setting up something. Yes, I hope it has to. he shouldn't be taking losses just because he thinks it's fun to take losses. Because that's apparently what Will Ospreay has like said backstage, is he has no problem putting over people he thinks it's good to put over other people. And I think that may be true, but you have like it, this needs to lead to not just something for Darby, which I think there's no debate it will, but also it needs to lead to something for Will Ospreay. At least the story within the tournament, and also his character story must be altered by whatever happened tonight, or it's all for nothing, you know.
I will also say, I think the smaller buildings technique or whatever is going on with the production is so much better. The crowd was freaking nuts for this match, and that was really fun. Sure. Like, it was really fun to start to hear the past couple weeks to hear those things come back again was like, made me happy. It made me happy that people are just going nuts for wrestling. But like, it's not lost on me that part of the reason you don't want Will Ospreay to lose is because every time he goes out there, we are seeing, I mean, I don't have to tell you, Fightful Awards Match of the Year contenders, just like, I was talking to Sean about, this is a fun little behind the curtain for you.
Okay.
To Sean about what to do with these awards, how many we want to do and how we're going to organize them and all these things. And he was saying, you know, I think this year we might consolidate onto one trophy people that win multiple awards. So if it was Will Ospreay, it'd be like best finisher, best match, whatever. And I said to him, point Will Ospreay's just gonna, because they're wooden, I was like, he's just gonna have his own tree. Like, he's just gonna he's gonna have his own tree trunk with all of his accomplishments. But when you talk about the value of someone on your roster, like Will Ospreay, the amount of just no matter what the circumstances are, him just getting crowds to be where they're at. And it was fun hearing them split too, because the crowd is not you and they love Darby. So like, they were rooting for both guys, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't have to be heel face because this was a tournament. So good stuff.
Jambeard says the end of Darby versus Claudio should end in a double count out brawl that costs Claudio again and sets up a gimmick rematch at World's End. Then he says that I think Claudio is beating Darby on Saturday, but losing to Commander on Wednesday as a mega upset, similar to Daniel Garcia last year. Then he says this will be ruined if Commander somehow beats Brody on Rampage, which would make me as sour as Alex is right now. This is my thing. If Claudio loses to Darby Allin, which again, this is the whole reason Darby Allin is there, and becomes mathematically eliminated from the whole thing before he has the match versus Commander, I think he should beat Commander in 6 seconds.
Yes, that I agree with too.
Just boom, leave. Like, he hits him with the biggest uppercut you've ever seen, knocks his head off, pins him, and leaves because he's so damn pissed he's not involved in the thing anymore. That these 3 points are meaningless. And that should then be a storyline thing for Claudio to make him even angrier, even more vicious, that he lost to Darby. And so him beating Commander doesn't mean anything anyway. So just, or maybe he just walks away and takes the count out loss because it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
No, like, I like the idea because Claudio is so fun as a violent assassin that I actually really like that idea. We haven't really had that in the C2 at any point before. So I love that idea. But Darby has to cost Claudio because that was his mission statement for being in the tournament, I feel like.
He can't. I'm going to come into this tournament to teach you a lesson, Claudio, and then lose to Claudio in the second to last match of the tournament.
You definitely can't do that after beating Will Ospreay. You know what I mean?
I was not in the best frame of mind after that result, so... I also figured there was no reason to watch the main event, triple threat anyway. And I just didn't, and I apologize for my dereliction of duty, but I let you know ahead of time so that you would take better notes. But I just couldn't, I had to excuse myself from wrestling for 15 minutes.
I mean, So I liked a lot of tonight's episode. I hope people are hearing that. Like, I really liked this episode a lot, but I was kind of bummed, like, after we got this, that we were headed into this main event, because I just feel like I've seen the Death Riders versus Orange Cassidy and Hangman Page and Jay White. Like, I've just seen so much of these guys dancing around each other for so long, And I just knew it was going to be like, will the odd couple side be able to not cost each other? And of course, there was like some weirdness there, right? And the Death Riders are a unified front. So the Death Riders winning isn't surprising, especially ahead of like this is the week before the go home, right? So, but I just, it was an unsurprising result. It's a great match because everybody in it can wrestle extremely well. Like it's so nice to see Jay White in this. Hangman getting hot tag spots is really, really fun because even as an arsonist, people were rooting for this guy. So now that he's supposed to be someone that's like in it for the soul of AEW right. a little bit more, yeah. anytime yeah. he gets a hot tag, he just starts to beat the hell out of people. It's so mm-hmm. much fun. So that part of it's really fun. I just feel for me, like this world title storyline, unfortunately, is like one of the things that I'm least excited about right now, because I think they've done a great job of turning things around over the past 4 weeks or so in a lot of other ways with the C2. The women's division is shaping up in better shape than it was, which is always like the roller coaster I'm on with that. Takeshita versus Hobbs is going to be a great program. Like I'm excited about a lot of things on tap, but when I look at this world title picture, I'm just so feel like we're in the mud with it because it just feels like it's the destruction pervs have ambiguous goals. Like right. destruction ego. What does it mean to stomp out the egos? What does that actually mean? How many people does it take? Does everybody have to declare an allegiance? Like there's so many things. You're going to take over TBS. Actually, we were just cutting a promo. Like I think part of the problem is it's very hard to escalate an angle that starts with, I tried to suffocate a guy with a plastic bag. Like to go up from there is just something that's kind of tricky. And as someone who sat through 947 years of Roman Reigns' title reign, I'm just kind of burned out on, oh, wow, this one group holds a bunch of gold and there's overbooking and there's interference and there's post-match beatdowns. And there was even a guy in a black hoodie that appeared, Alex. Like, it just, right. I'm so burnt out and I just feel like these Jon Moxley vignettes and backstages are getting a little bit too solid of just like, we're going to beat people up. We're destruction and for the better of things and backstage and egos. Like it just feels like there's an AI bot writing like buzzwords around Jon Moxley stuff. And I need clarity around the fact that this guy is stomping out egos, but having a four-way blows my mind. Like that guy should be having one-on-one matches, tearing down individual egos with clear motives every step of the way. And it just feels like I don't like the people backstage. Like it's just not nearly specific of enough of a target for me to enjoy. Right. So it just kind of felt like, oh, these guys mixing it up again. We're going to see that happen again on the 28th. We've already right. seen some of this happen before. So it just didn't have a lot of excitement to me. And on an episode where you have one of the best, most popular women's wrestlers in the world defending her title, kind of felt like that should be the main event to me.
Right. I mean, I feel like if you're going to put one thing on the main event, then the main event should be Will Ospreay and Darby Allin.
I would have also been fine with that, yeah. Like, starting with the women's match was all right.
Before they put that out there, like, that's objectively, that's it. Even if it didn't end the way I wanted it to, that match probably shouldn't be just, like, a thing that happens in the second hour. It should be the main event. But
I don't know if that's true, because I don't feel like his point is...
No, the point is this. The point is this. They could all draw straws and then take out Mox and the winner gets the title, but they all want it to be them because of their egos. He said it when he asked for the all of you guys could all band together and take us out, but you won't do it. You won't do it because you're all too busy worrying about your own selves rather than what it should be. If you think we're bad for AEW, then all of you get together and take us out, but you won't do it because it's all about your egos, which proves his point. Hangman will not let Jay White become champion. Like Orange Cassidy should be the guy who will try and help out, but he's not because he's got a vendetta against Moxley. I think honestly, the world title scene is something I'm enjoying the most in AEW right now.
Good.
Because I love Moxley. I love his promos. I need there to be an ultimate payoff, with the this lady is carrying around a briefcase that we think has the title in it. Yeah, like there's got to be a so bigger pretty. Payoff than there's got to be a bigger payoff than the title is in there. I don't know what that is, but there's got to be a bigger payoff than that.
I like that explanation. I don't think I picked that. It was starting to feel almost Ultimate Warrior nonsensical to me. Like that, not in that yeah. much, not in that deep of a direction, but I it was feeling very muddy. But I like right. that clarity that you added to it, or that I didn't see before.
I think that the problem is, I think that when you have the three of them team up versus Pac and Yuta and Moxley, it cheapens the eventual four-way, because
yes,
then you got Moxley fighting with those guys tonight. I don't know if Claudio had to tape a different match tonight, or if they were worried about him maybe getting hurt for the C2 stuff. But it should be these trios champs. Versus you three guys, and you think you all should be world champions. Tell you what, our boys will put the titles on the line. How about that? And if you beat them, then the three of you are a team now. And as a team, you should all be able to band together and beat me in a 3-on-1 handicap match. But you won't, will you? And then Mox's point is proven. And maybe the one guy who, according to AEW, doesn't have an ego so big that it'll cloud all of his judgment is Darby Allin. And he's the one guy, like maybe that's the thing that it ends up being him. I could name five people that I think there's a better storyline to be the guy that beat Moxley than I think Darby Allin, but it's going to be Darby Allin. And it's just when that happens, I guess, are we going to see him climb Everest in March and April, come back for Double or Nothing and win it there? Is we're going to see him win it before he goes away? Like he wins it and immediately gets cashed in on by Christian and then goes away for a couple of months and then comes back and gets it back from Christian. I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff here. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah. You know what the other problem is? This is just a matter of taste. I feel like we've seen so much great work out of Jon Moxley and AEW, and in my heart, I'm just ready for Claudio and Pac to be the main characters. Like I'm just so like I love like the type of violence we've been getting from Claudio in this. I'm so glad that Pac is finally healthy. I feel like I've seen so much of what Jon Moxley can do, and he's great. And that's not even to say that he's not doing great work right now, and it's just not for me. I just like Claudio's my dude, man. Like yep. in this faction. That's why I was so excited when they won the trios titles. I was like, oh, Claudio defending in a trio. Yeah. Like, let's go. And I feel like I haven't gotten to see that. And Claudio's just the main character in my heart. So
Ann Simmons says Sour Grapes on a Wednesday. Yes. Yep. Enjoyed the show. So happy they're using a smaller venue. Very happy they're using
a smaller venue. Yes, much better. Production Darby on both live and taped. Way up.
Darby and Ospreay was great. Hurt Business has to cost Ospreay on Saturday, because I don't know why they rescinded. You mean cost Ricochet? Hurt Business has to cost Ricochet? Or was this all this was all a ploy to make us think they don't like Ricochet, so they do cost Ospreay? I don't know. And
if it's a red herring, Ricochet should have played into the red herring and been like, you guys are mean. I'm going to punch you back. Like, that's the thing.
Luis says the problem with Claudio walking out of his C2 match versus Commander was it buries the C2 whole thing. I mean, maybe taking a count out loss isn't against the rules specifically, but I would kind of like them to say, okay, that's it. You're banned from the C2 for 1 year.
That would be cool.
That'd be great because I don't want to see any repeats from the last 2 years next year. So
yeah, especially double Claudio repeats.
So
next year should be like Bowens and Josh Woods and like people like that. I will not stop mentioning Josh Woods' names literally ever. So if you are like, I don't know who that is, or I'm not a fan, I'm sorry, but like, I just love him. I love the idea of him just being silent and violent. That should be a t-shirt. He should be silent and violent and just beating the hell out of Commander and walking. Just like you said, 6 seconds, just crushing him would be really, really fun.
N.S. Ogre or N. So Gray, I never know how to exactly say that, but says radiant as beautiful, radiant and beautiful as always. Kate looks hot too.
Well, thank you for the pity compliment.
All right. Do we still have one more ad to do?
I'm so glad that you might have mentioned that.
I was just wondering.
I had a segue for your Darby rant to run this NordVPN ad, but then it got away from us, Alex.
It got away from you. I was the one who remembered the ad read. I'm just saying.
It's so true. It's so true. Well, we are going to talk about, you know what, we'll give them a nice setup here too, because they are our present sponsor for the Fightful Awards, in addition to being one of the most invested in Fightful sponsors that we have just in general. They've expanded with us into 2025. When you use the code FIGHTFUL over the course of some years, you get a ton of money back with NordVPN. So I'm going to go ahead and let Sean tell you about it, because that's what my job is supposed to be to do. But I'm a dumb dumb and forgot all about it. But here's Sean to tell you all about it.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits. But if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
There you go. There you go.
Had hey, it the whole time, Alex. Yeah. Never Cyclo, missed
beat. My friend Cyclo sent in something. Says, it's simple. Kate wants compliments, so I pay her a compliment. You are serving with the red and red look, Kate. I'm not used to seeing Alex without the rainbow light vortex behind him. It seems he lost his smile because of Darby. Much love to SGS.
It's Thank you so tribute. Much.
It's me doing a tribute to HBK is basically what this is.
I think that's sweet. My last night especially. So.
Jambeard says, Fightful needs a stiffest wrestler award sponsored by Blue Chew. Listen, we need to actually sponsor. Apparently, we're not good enough to have it be the Sour Graps Hater of the Year award. So we have to sponsor the award next year, Kate. How much does it cost to sponsor an award? And we have to like crowdfund it?
I'm so glad that you asked, Alex. It's $100, but I know a girl and I would forgo my own commission for us to sponsor an award. I'm that nice about us, but it is $100 if you want to sponsor. You get 35,000 in views is what we did last year. You get social media calls to over 500,000 followers and, I mean, so many impressions. Mm-hmm. And you get inclusions in our YouTube description and our promotional materials, as well as exclusivity in your favorite category if it's available, and a 30 to 90 second on-air ad read.
There you go.
Contact Kate at kate@fightful.com today.
That's great. really.
You go. That's great.
That's just great.
I'm trying to hustle some money here, all right?
Kate, we are hopefully going to be back in the Christmas spirit on Sunday night.
You're damn right we will. I've been in the Christmas spirit. You're the grump. I like tonight's episode.
I meant the royal we. Like the like we are going to be back in the Christmas spirit on Sunday
as
night.
A unit.
When we review Santa's Little Helper starring The Miz and Soraya/Paige. It is an atrocious film. Behind the paywall, we will review it for our movie reviews of wrestlers in bad movies called This Is Cinema? Hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. So, you know, if you're wrapping presents on Sunday night, just, you know, pop that on. That'll be a little fun.
That was like a little, you know, Delilah, the radio DJ. Like, sure. Maybe you're baking cookies. Maybe you're doing whatever. And then she would play some song. We'd be like, maybe you're cuddled up by the Christmas tree with your sweetheart and you want to hear two people review Santa's Little Helper. Starting the Miz and Soraya, then Paige.
Yeah. Meet Norma says, Rampage. Rampage humped tonight. I got to take a pic with Will Hobbs. I can confirm he's meaty.
Meet Norma's Met? Yeah. I mean, just like a front runner of like all meaty men in wrestling.
Yeah. Also, Marina looks like a young Linda Hamilton. She's scary hot. She does. She's did. Yeah, there you go. That's good. Appreciate that. I don't have it in me to do these jukeboxes. We'll send them, save them for a different time. Thank you for putting those there, Luis, but it's just not going to work out. Thank you everybody for this. This was the whole show. I don't think we missed anything, right? There wasn't some kind of cliffhanger like there wasn't Collision where they kidnapped somebody else.
No. And there also wasn't an ad read that I forgot. There wasn't like a third one that I forgot about.
Like, I was just kidding. Wondering because I was going to end it earlier, but then I realized we have another ad read, which allowed people to send us more money for me to read about things. So that's nice. Huh?
I planned it that way. Chestnut Checkers.
Great. Do you feel like singing Miss Murder by AFI in the style of the Nya Girl?
No, I think for Sean, we should end it here and then we'll take our weirdness to another night.
Yeah, we should do that for Sean.
He's got enough going on. He doesn't need us being.
I appreciate you people sending those in. We're definitely going to get that. Don't worry. It'll get read. I promise.
Of course it will.
Yeah. And until then, Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yes, have a fantastic holiday.
At some point, but Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Goodbye, everybody.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.